Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Welcome to our service of worship on the second Sunday after Pentecost. Our homilist today is Bishop Jean. And now, let us hear what the Lord is saying to each of our hearts. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known. And from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the collect for the second Sunday of Pentecost. O God, our defender, storms rage about us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear, and preserve us all from unbelief. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, beginning at the first verse. Ahab had told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked if he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. Then the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Psalms appointed between the lections are Psalm 42 and 43. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I went with a throng and led them in the procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Miser. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commends his steadfast love, and at night his songs with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, and my help and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. For those who are deceitful and unjust, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you cast me off? Why must I walk about mournfully because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Gracious God, in the night of distress, we forget the days of sun and joy. Even when we do not know your presence, preserve us from the dark torrent of despair. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, beginning with the 23rd verse. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's gospel is from Luke chapters 8, verses 26 to 39. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Then they arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For Jesus hath commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. The herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swine herd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus has done for him. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is not one of the more popular stories of Scripture. When you ask people to name a favorite part of the Bible, they mention Psalm 23, the Nativity, the Good Shepherd. And that's to be expected. We like the readings that make us feel good, or at least better. Today's reading is not exactly a feel-good story. We see Jesus crossing the Lake of Galilee to the region of the Gerasenes, the people who had lived in the town of Gerasa. He no sooner disembarks and he's confronted by a man who was demon-possessed. The unfortunate man was without clothing or home and lived in the tombs of that area. The demons who possessed him had shown their great strength, breaking the unfortunate man free of the chains used by the people to restrain him. When Jesus commanded the evil spirit, the demon cried out, addressing Jesus as Son of the Most High God. And rather than being cast into the abyss, they asked to be sent into a large herd of pigs. When Jesus agreed, the pigs rushed into the lake and were drowned, which concerned those who had cared for the pigs and who ran to share the news. When the town people came to see, though, the man was changed. He was dressed. He was sitting quietly with Jesus. Finally in his right mind, finally free of the demonic control that had troubled him for so long. The poor man had been dealing with this for years. He'd been isolated from other people, denied the comfort of a home and the companionship of loved ones for a long time. Not because he didn't want those things, but because he was under demonic control. Then Jesus entered his life, and with him brought an end to the man's suffering. He was free of the demons, once more in his right mind, and in control of himself and his life. That's the story. But today, many people reject the idea, not only of demonic possession, but demons generally, and even the devil himself. Despite this, requests for exorcism, that is the Catholic rite of releasing people from demonic possession, requests are rising and rising fast. Just last year, the Archdiocese of Indianapolis received nearly 2,000 requests for exorcisms. So which is it? Is demonic possession to be considered an event limited to the time of Christ, as some people believe it to have been? Or are the demons truly active in our world? In New York, Dr. Richard Gallagher is an exorcism consultant. He was educated at Princeton and Yale and is a board-certified psychiatrist, as well as a teacher at Columbia University and New York Medical College. He consults regularly with exorcists and assists them in determining whether they are dealing with demonic possession or mental health issues. He's been at this work for over 25 years. According to him, demonic possession is rare, but it is real. But rare. Most of us will probably never encounter a demon or require the assistance of an exorcist, thank God. But that's not to say we don't have so-called demons of our own, keeping us from the peace meant to fill our lives as children of God. Like the man in today's reading, we may have our own demons that limit the control we have over our life and actions. Addictions come to mind, and addicts truly do have a fight to gain control over whatever has the upper hand in their lives. But so do we. It may not be a substance problem, but how much of life is dominated by something other than our reasoned will? That's what possession is. Control or domination by an evil spirit or a passion or even an idea. Possession results in decreased control, in a decrease of our ability to freely choose our thoughts, our words, our actions. And it isn't always a demonic entity that possesses us. How many marriages end because one partner is so consumed by their job that the family gets little time or attention? Or perhaps one of the couple cannot rest without the best fashion or cars or trips and misuses the family resources? Or because one partner cannot be content with a wholesome, loving relationship with the spouse and is driven to seek partner after partner, or more and more unwholesome ways to express what can only be a distortion of love. People speak of finding your passion. And it is surely good to find those things in life that excite our spirits and drive us to achieve goals that are dear to our hearts. But unbridled passions can begin to run us instead of being aspects of our lives that we choose how and when to enjoy. We no longer speak of the seven deadly sins, but they are passions that are easily able to get out of control. And when that happens, the ability to choose the right way of living is impaired. People are dominated, possessed, if you will, by their desires. They're driven by the need to get more money, romance, reputation, power, or they're driven to get more time of pleasure and entertainment. And when they aren't engaged in the activity, they think about it. It's always on their mind. I'm not speaking of things that are bad in and of themselves. You probably know a collector or two whose collection has gotten out of hand, or an athlete who's consumed by golf or running or some other activity. Some people are consumed by social position, and their lives are directed to gaining ever more recognition. Fear and dread can possess people too, draining us of joy and hope. It can be hard to get out from under the negative news of the planet, of the politics in many nations that seem to be focused on helping only the wealthiest people. anger can get out of control, leading some to become nearly obsessed with thoughts of revenge and hate. Such things can drive people to see future knowledge, which only God has. I'm sure you've seen this happen to people. Even love can take an unhealthy turn. We've seen parents and grandparents who cannot say no to their loved ones, whose lives are so focused on the children that the adults lose sight of what they ever wanted or hoped to do as they make the little ones the center of their world. We've seen it in couples where one of the two so dominates the other with their demands and needs. What a mess. People say they have too much to do. They have to go shopping or to work. They have a golf date, taking the kids swimming. They have guests. Pray? Who's time to pray when they have no time to do the things they must? I'm sure you've heard this from people. Any of these passions or loves can become a personal demon of sorts when it limits that person's ability to exercise their full free will. It becomes a personal demon, so to speak, when it takes the time that should be spent in uplifting, spirit-lifting activity, when it blinds people to what's really important. For so many people, life is focused on pain, worry, stress. Their lives are centered on these negative emotions. We've seen the impact they have on our own lives when we experience a crisis or a trial. Imagine the poor people who never seem to get out from under these terrible feelings. But there's hope. Reason, common sense, the right mind, Scripture tells us Jesus restored to this man, can be restored to us as well. Whatever's dominating us can be released. It takes discipline to put the things of this world in their proper place, to put at the center of our lives what belongs there. I should say who belongs there. By who, I mean God, Jesus, our Savior. Only in Him can we find the kind of unshakable peace we crave. Money, power, relationships, work, none of these can give us the peace Jesus has promised us. Like the Gerasene demoniac, we too can be freed from whatever keeps our minds from being stayed on Christ in the midst of the busyness of our lives, in the midst of our hectic or scary or broke or lonely or confused or dissatisfied days. The demons in Gerasene could not resist the command of Jesus, and whatever troubles or trials we are facing are the same. They must yield to the power of Christ. There can be no other response. In today's gospel, the demoniac was freed by Jesus, and when he was found by the townspeople, there he sat, fully dressed once more, at the feet of Jesus, who blessed him so greatly. The people asked Jesus to leave. They may have been concerned for their own herds. But when Jesus prepared to leave, he told the former demoniac to go home and tell what God had done in his life. He said this because the freed man asked to accompany Jesus. And Jesus said no. Neither can we accompany Jesus, who has risen to where we cannot yet go. But we're never alone, for Jesus accompanies us wherever we go. Knowing this, remembering this, enables us to ground our days, to center them on Jesus. Walking daily with Jesus enables us to truly taste and see the sweetness of prayer, the Mass, of time spent sitting spiritually at his feet, as the former demoniac did when he was again in his right mind. Let us seek the right mind that's grounded in Christ. Let us open our hearts so that we can truly make our earthly journey in company with Him. Let us, like the man in the story, recognize the good God has done for us and tell others what God will do for them too. In this way, we will be free of whatever steals our peace. Dr. Gallagher, who I mentioned earlier, has said that while it is rare for people to be possessed by a demon, demons do exist. To counter their evil work, many people pray the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. I will close with a different prayer one that is actually a little older than the St. Michael prayer, but like it, ask the angels to rid the world of evil through Mary's intercession. It's called the August Queen Prayer. August Queen of Heaven and Mistress of the Angels, you have received from God the power and mission to crush the head of Satan. We humbly ask you to send the heavenly legions so that under your command they may pursue the demons, combat them everywhere, crush their bold attacks, and drive them back into the abyss. Who is like God? O good and tender Mother, you will always be our love and our hope. O Heavenly Mother, send the holy angels to defend me and repel far from me the cruel enemy. Holy angels and archangels, defend and guard us. Amen. And amen.
A time of intercessory prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, hear and have mercy. We pray for all who confess the name of Christ. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray for those whose lives are bound in mutual love, and for those who live in celibacy. Be their joy and their strength.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
For all in danger, for those who are far from home, prisoners, exiles, victims of oppression, grant them your salvation.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
For all who are facing trials and difficulties, for those who are sick, Carol, Wayne, Philip, Charlene, Sherry, Bruce, Nancy, Chris, Ref Pat, Dave, Shane, Phyllis, and Pat, and those who are dying, show them your kindness and mercy.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray for one another. May we always be united in service and love.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
We pray to be forgiven of our sins and set free from all hardship, distress, want, war, and injustice.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
May we discover new and just ways of sharing the goods of the earth, struggling against exploitation, greed, or lack of concern. May we all live by the abundance of your mercies and find joy together.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
May we be strengthened by our communion with all Christ's saints.
Lord, hear and have mercy.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving action. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ, and see all as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, be with us this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.